Is that a distant drone you're hearing in the sky?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio. There are times to go retro, but when it comes to America's air traffic system, there's a case for keeping technology fresh. After 5 years of wrangling, Congress has passed a bill to give the Federal Aviation Administration money and a roadmap to the 21st century already. And soon, the legislation will allow robots to share American skies, along with curbing the power of labor unions. First, Marketplace's David Gura joins us from Washington. Good morning, Mr. Gura.
Morning, David.
So why did this take so long to get what is ultimately a funding bill for the Federal Aviation Administration?
Well, some of this, I must admit, is just typical Washington, but a huge stumbling block here had to do with a labor issue, as you mentioned, essentially how many votes employees need to unionize. Under this legislation, employees would need more signatures than they did in the past. I just talked to somebody who opposes this bill, Candace Johnson. She's with the Communications Workers of America.
This reauthorization bill has made that incredibly difficult, much harder than it has to be, and all because of ideology, not because there should have been anything in the bill that dealt with this issue at all.
David, organized labor said that above all else, this piece of legislation just wasn't the right place to deal with issues like this one.
Tell you what also caught my eye, drones. The measure says that a few years from now, there might be pilotless robot planes circling around.
That's right, and there's a lot of interest in this, as you might imagine. Scientists want to use drones for research, police departments. They want to get their hands on some of the surveillance technology that the military's been using. This legislation says that a plan has to be in place within these next few years that would allow more drones in U.S. airspace. Now, of course, the government's got a lot to sort out. There are concerns about privacy, David, but also about safety.
Sure. What's the worst that could happen? Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sometimes hackers become fully-fledged cyber criminals trying to crack computer security at places like power and chemical plants. Members of Congress are working on a plan to bolster America's cyber defenses. But as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, there's opposition from utility companies.
Most of America's critical infrastructure is owned and operated by private companies. Increasingly, they use network software, making them vulnerable to hackers. Jacob Olcott is a cybersecurity expert at Good Harbor Consulting. He says given the potential catastrophic consequences of an attack,
many people are coalescing around the idea that the government does play a role, some role, in protecting those systems and assets.
But companies are warning Congress not to add to their regulatory burden. Liesl France, for example, with Tech America, says new government requirements could make it tougher to react.
Probably a most salient example is the time it takes to devise and promulgate and enforce a regulatory framework vis-a-vis the time that it takes for a cyber attack to occur.
France says instead of imposing new regulations, government should make it easier for industries that are under threat to quickly share information. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Haunted by the three B's, budget cutting, bondholders, and bailout, still not sorted out in Greece, the Dow pretty flat, up about 4 points at this point. S&P 500 down 0.1%, so is the NASDAQ Composite Index. Disney profits report comes out today. There's word its ABC TV division is talking to Univision about an English-language cable news channel, especially for the burgeoning market for Hispanic viewers.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Innocentive, helping organizations generate creative ideas and solve key problems through open innovation and crowdsourcing solutions. Innovation consultants available at 855-CROWD-NOW. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com.
Now to a special kind of lottery in New Haven, Connecticut. The prize is not cash, but the chance to live in a brand new public housing community. Craig LaMolt was there as people lined up to apply.
Richard Estrada says winning this lottery would mean a lot to him.
A great deal. Because I got two little boys. One is autistic, so I need a larger space for him.
Estrada's not the stereotypical public housing tenant. He's got a good job running maintenance for the city's police stations. but it's still tough to make ends meet.
Everything is counted for, you know, of my part. So, you know, hopefully it goes well.
If it does go well, he'll get to live in a brand new public housing community, not a project.
We've given up that word.
That's Karen DeBoise-Walton, the Housing Authority's director. The change is more than just semantics. These are individual homes with front and back yards. This lottery is for the city's working poor. The idea is to get people with different incomes living together.
It stabilizes communities. It is helpful for communities to see and benefit from people getting up and going to work every day.
The federal government funds hundreds of mixed-income communities like this around the country. New Haven is using some money for this development that would have otherwise supported housing vouchers. People can use vouchers to help pay rent at apartments around the city. Bob Ellickson, who teaches property law at Yale, says these mixed-income communities are way better than the old model of clustering the poorest people in massive projects.
But I think inferior to portable housing vouchers, which are much more flexible and which provide aid to twice more families than these projects do, and also can be targeted to the families that are the most in need.
Federal housing officials say rent vouchers can only do so much. This project is a brand new development with built-in social services like job training. Add in the lottery to mix things up economically, and they say you may have created a community that can make some progress against poverty. In Connecticut, I'm Craig LaMolt for Marketplace.
And finally, miss some mortgage payments and they can put your property up for auction, no matter how tall that property is. The biggest skyscraper in the South, the 1,000-foot-plus Bank of America Plaza in Atlanta, is getting auctioned off at the county courthouse today. A California-based investment firm had bought the tower for $436 million at the peak of the boom. I wonder if there's a reserve price for the auction, like they do on eBay? Or could a fellow bid a dollar and see how it goes? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
You want to cut medical costs? First, you got to find the right kind of people.
In the sociology literature, these people are referred to as natural helpers. They're the type of people that will be at a neighbor's bedside, whether they're being paid to or not.
Step number two, keep people out of hospitals. I'm Kai Rizdahl. That story and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.